For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, so Parshas Bishlach has been a phenomenal morale for you tonight. Before we get to the psukim that we're going to be discussing, which is in front of you, in which Hashem says to Moshe, "Mat tzitzak elai," the background to this, to these psukim that we're about to start, is Klal Yisrael. You don't have it in front of you. I'll just read them to you. Klal Yisrael has left Mitzrayim. They approach the Yam. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, say name. Your name is Mitzrayim. No, say Achrayim. They look up and they see the Mitzrayim are behind them. Vayiru ma'od vayitzaku el Hashem. So they cry out. And what do they say when they cry out? Vayomru el Moshe hamibli ein kvarim b'Mitzrayim. So we have no graves left in Mitzrayim. L'kachtanu l'musfa midbar. They have this complaint. There's no death we could have had there in Mitzrayim. You have to take us out over here. Mazos asisalonu lohotzionu mi Mitzrayim. What did you take us? What is this that you've done to take us out? And then they say, Havo zedav asher dibar. This is what we told you. We want to go back. Ki tov lanu avodes Mitzrayim mi musenu ba midbar. It was better for us there to serve in Mitzrayim than to die here in the midbar. And Moshe responds to this complaint. Hisyatzu uru'u es Yeshua Hashem. You just stand here, sit back, relax, enjoy the show, he says. Asher, he is going to Hashem Yilachem Elachem Vatem Tacharishun. That's Moshe's response. So the people complain, either no graves, why do we need to die here? Tov lanu avodes Mitzrayim, it's better for us back in Mitzrayim. Moshe says, relax, just stand and watch, Hashem is going to take care of everything. And that leads us into where we are up to now. So That's a dialogue between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Their complaints: Hamabli ein kvarim bin Mitzrayim, Tov lanu avodes Mitzrayim. Moshe responds to them, and then Hashem speaks to Moshe. Vayomer Hashem, Moshe, these are our psukim. Matitzak ilai, what are you crying out to me? Which is the famous Rashi, which we're not going to be getting to tonight, probably. Although maybe if we have time, we'll get to it. Moshe Rashi says was davening, and Hashem says, "What are you busy davening for? Klal Yisrael's in trouble. We need to do something. Stop davening, so I can save the people." Davir al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. What should Moshe do? Speak to the Jewish people and travel. Says Rashi, what does that mean that Hashem says to Moshe, just go. Davir al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Now, there's nowhere for them to go, because the scenario is, the Yam is in front of them, the Mitzrayim are behind them, and we all know about Kriyas Yamsuf, but it hasn't happened yet. So, looking at the sea in front of them, there is no place to go. And yet Hashem says to Moshe, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, just tell them to go. Which is basically equivalent to like standing in front of a wall and saying like, Nu, what are you waiting for? So Rashi says, you underline Rashi in Pasuk Tezvav, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, Ein lahem ela lisa. All they need to do is start traveling. I know you think there's nowhere for them to go. Just tell him to go. She'ein hayam omeid b'snehem. Nothing. It will not stand before them. Kedai zuchus avoseihem. There's enough zuchus from their fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's one. Veheim, and their own zuchus. Veha'emuna she'eminu b'viyotu. And number three, the emuna that they had in me that they left Mitzrayim. L'kroya lahem hayam. They have enough to split the sea. Just start going. Because they have this chus avos, they have themselves, they have the emuna that they had in me to leave Mitzrayim, which was a big deal, into a desert going nowhere. Just travel. The yam will be nothing before them. It will just simply split. And all that is in the words, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. Then continues Hashem in Pasuk Tazayin, V'atoharim es matchon eteyas yotchal ayom. Raise up your staff and spread your hand over the yam. Uvka'ehu, and split it. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'sochayom b'yabashah. The people will be able to travel through in the dry land. And then he prepares them. Va'ani hinani mechazik aslev Mitzrayim v'yavo achrahem. Don't worry, I'm going to harden the hearts of the Mitzrayim, and they are going to follow after you. V'ka'abdod b'faro v'chol chelo. And then I will be glorified through Paro. V'yodu Mitzrayim kini Hashem v'hi chabdi v'far b'chol v'rashov. And then everybody will know that I am Hashem because of the glory that I will have when they follow after you. So that is the plan. You just tell them to travel. The zchus they have will split the yam. I'm going to become well known and glorified through this. And then the Torah says, Vayisa Malach Elokim Haholech Lefnei Machane Yisrael. The Malach Elokim that was traveling before the Jewish camp, Vayelech Me'achareihem. That Malach then switches to the back of the camp. Vayisa Amud Ha'anon Lefneihem Vayamor Me'achareihem. And then the Amud also, which had been traveling in front, travels to the back. So the Jewish people have everything in front of them. That was their guiding light. The Amud and the Malach Elokim, it stopped at the Am. Where are they going to go? So the Jewish people stop, they look behind them, they cry out, they say, there are no graves in Mitzrayim. What are we doing here for? Let's go back, it would be better for us there. Moshe says, relax. Hashem says to Moshe, just tell them to go. They'll move. They have enough schus, it's going to split. And then before anything happens, the Malach that's traveling in front of them, the Amud Anon traveling in front of them, switch to the back. What's it doing in the back? There says Rashi. Take a look at our second Rashi. Says Rashi, you test Vayelech Me'achareihem, before the underlined part, Lahavdil Bein Machaneh Mitzrayim Uvein Machaneh Yisrael. It's going to separate between the two camps, Ulekabel Chitzim Uvelistoros Shel Mitzrayim, to catch the arrows and the spears that the Mitzrayim were launching into the Jewish camp. So in the simple meaning, says Rashi, why does the Malach switch? It's protection. While you're going to be traveling forward into the Yam, so the Amud and the Malach move to the back, because that's where the Egyptians are attacking from, and they'll be there to catch miraculously as the Egyptians are throwing their spears and shooting their arrows into your camp, this pillar will catch it together with the Malach. And then Rashi notes that the word Malach Hashem is a little odd, because it's called a Malach Elokim. And as I'm sure you all remember from Sefer Bereishis, Rashi points out, we never find the phrase Malach Elokim. That's an odd phrase. It's always a Malach Hashem. And the word Hashem is the name of Hashem that denotes more of Rachamim. Elokim is the name of Hashem that denotes judgment, Vadayan, Din. So Rashi says, why here? What's the language of Malach Elokim? Says Rashi, B'chol makom hu omer Malach Hashem. Every other place we find a Malach, we generally find it to be a Malach Hashem. It's a Malach of Rachamim. V'kan, Malach Elokim. And here, the angel, what's the task of the angel again, according to Rashi? What's the protection. So should that be a Malach of Rachamim or a Malach of Din?
Din.
Why Din?
Oh, sorry.
It should have been Rachamim. This is a Malach which is serving in protection. It's moving from the front of the camp to the back of the camp. The purpose of the Malach together with the Amud Anon is now to protect the Jewish people. Says Rashi, why in the world is this Malach a Malach of Elokim? Ein Elohim b'chol makom eladayim. Whenever you find the word Elohim, if it's used in terms of human beings, it's referring to a judge. If it's used in reference to Hashem, it's using his midah of din. Why here is it a Malach of Din? Says Rashi, Milamei Shehoyu Yisrael Nisunim Badin Ba'os Hashah. That moment, Klal Yisrael was in the middle of a judgment, a serious judgment. Im Lehi Natzel, should they be saved? Im Laha'abed, Im Mitzrayim. Or if they should be lost and destroyed together with the Mitzrayim. Because the Mitzrayim were about to jump into the sea, and they were going to be wiped out, as Hashem said, Ichabdo b'faro v'chol chelo. I will be glorified when they go in and the waters come crashing down. And there was a major judgment going on at that moment. And the judgment was, should I save the Jewish people? Should I not save the Jewish people? Should they be lost together with the Mitzrayim and destroyed, and I'll start over with Moshe? Should I spare the Jewish people? And there was a din, a judgment taking place in Shemayim at that moment, referenced by the fact that it was a Malach Elokim that went to protect them, because it wasn't so clear that they should be protected. They might actually be destroyed, and hanging in the balance is the fate of the Jewish people. So says Rashi. And the problem here is, I underlined them both for you, so you should be able to pick it out. Wait a minute. We just two Rashis, one after another. The previous Rashi says, it's a couple of psukim earlier, but it's the previous Rashi, Ein lahem el elisa, travel, just tell them to go. Well, there's a yam in front of us, what do you mean we should go? Says Rashi, no, kedai schus avoseihem, veheim, veheemuno sheheemuno bi. They believed in me, they have schus, their fathers have schus, the water, it's just going to split as if it's not there. Just tell them to travel. And then, in Rashi's next comment, discussing the Malach Elokim, says Rashi, I don't know, was really hanging in the balance. Not sure whether or not the Jewish people were going to forget about miracles. Forget about splitting seas. Unclear whether or not they would survive or they would be drowned together with the Mitzrayim. But if we were trying to establish what's the stature or the status of the Jewish people right now up in Shemayim? What's their status? Who are they? How are they viewed? So one Rashi says, they're fine. They have so much schus, the waters will just split. Very next Rashi says, I don't even know if they're going to survive. So we jump not just from whether or not they have enough schus to split the yam, they're like the Mitzrim. They're all the way on the bottom. So, Maral's not going to say quite like that. You're taking a different approach. That's the problem that Maral has in these two consecutive Rashis. I want to share with you what Maral answers because it is so fundamental to literally every moment of our life that it's actually frightening. At least it is to me. Maybe you'll find it comforting, but I find it frightening. Says the Maral, here in the Goraya, he says it in a very succinct way, and we'll see in the footnotes in the Sif HaEmun, he talks about it in a much greater extent. Says the Maral in Os Chaf, Kedayu Schus Avos, this is going on the first Rashi, that there was enough of the Schus Avos, the Imlochein, Wamla Ein Lohem Elalisa. It has to be that there's enough Schus, because why else is Hashem telling them just to travel? I ask some Harav, Vahotu Kamerli, come on in the very next Rashi. She Yisrael, Hayu Nisunim Badinim, Lihi Tova Ima Mitrim. The very next Rashi says they were all made bedin whether or not they should be saved at all or if they should be drowned together with the Mitzvah. It wasn't obvious that they should be spared. Hachi Perusho says the Maharal. Shelo hayo lahem lehisra'im ad sheyomru hamibli ein kvarim. They did not have to complain. It was not appropriate then for them to complain as they did right before the psukim that we learned tonight. Were there no graves in Mitzrayim? Tov lanu to be oved es Mitzrayim. Then, Shein lahem el Elisa. Before they complained, they only needed to travel. They had enough schus, the waters would have just split. Aval achshav shenis armu. But now that they've complained and said, what's with the graves? We don't need to go here to die. You could have died back there. Hayu nisunim badin. Now, they're omeid bedin. So that their status changed, says the Maral, and Rashi is telling you what happened. That originally, when Rashi says they just needed to have traveled, that was when they got to the Yam, that was their status. Just keep going. The Yam will just split. You have an aschus, chusavos, your emuna in me, it would have split. However, you responded by saying, what do we need to die here for? We could have died back there. Tov lanu oved es Mitzrayim is better for us. Oh, now that's the way you want to be? Well, then we actually need to sit in judgment and see whether or not you're going to make it. So says the Maral. Now, if we only had that, we could say, why should that be? What changes? Maybe it's like a punishment. There's different ways that we could have looked at why there's this change when they question.
The change in Bnei Yisrael's attitude happened before Hashem says for them to go. So
that's right.
Maybe Rashi should have said this like before they complained.
100%. In other words, that's why the way the Maral is addressing the Rashi, I agree with you, 100%. The way the Maral is addressing the Rashi is that even though Hashem's speech to Moshe of Matitzake Lai Dabiro Bnei Yisrael
V'Yisov.
You only heard
them afterwards?
The chronology of that, I agree with you. Maral was learning that was before their complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That was their status before, and then the status of the din is after. And I hear that as a question as to the chronology isn't glot.
Right.
Totally agree with that.
Okay.
Totally agree with that. Says the Maral, let's look at the footnotes, first of all, for another example where he expresses a similar idea. There's a similar idea when it comes to entering into Eretz Yisrael. When Moshe gives his final speech in Sefer Devarim, he begins in the very opening psukim, Bo Urshu Esaretz, when he speaks to the Jewish people, Hashem has told us, come, go up and inherit the land. Rashi quotes there, it's underlined there in the beginning of note 107, Ein ma'arer badavar ve'ein chem trichim lemilchama. There's no one going to stop you, just Bo Urshu Esaretz. We know that in reality, how long did it take Klal Yisrael to conquer and settle the land? 14 years. 7 years of war. 7 years of... It was a long process. Yet Moshe says like this, Bor Shua Saret, go on up and take it. Says Rashi, there was no one stopping you. There was no one who was going to complain. Ain't chem tzrichim lemilchama. You wouldn't have even needed any war. Ilu lo shilchu miraglim, lo hayutzrichim l'klei zayin. Had you not sent miraglim, you wouldn't even need weaponry. You just bow or shoe. Just want to walk straight in and taking it over. But you sent the miraglim. Now that you sent the miraglim, it's going to be war. It's going to be 7 years. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be gruesome. It's going to be dreary. It's going to take a long time. 14 until you finally get to live. Says Mara, why is that? Why is it in both of these examples that you would have just taken the land, but you sent miraglim? And because you sent miraglim, now it's going to be war. You would have otherwise, the water just would have split. But now that you complained, now it's got to be, I'm not even sure you're going to survive. Says Maral in the Siv Emuni, the part that's beginning to underline again. Yeshu Cholada, says the Maral. Everyone see where I am? Yeshu Cholada, ulahovin ki ikar ha emuna shuhu ma'amin bo yisparach shebekocho ko. What is the ikar emuna? Says Maral to us. Emuna is that a person believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is bekocho kol. There is nothing that the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot do. Now, we can say those words, and I think most of us would readily say those words, but then there's the idea of actually believing it. We often say, like, that's impossible, and we believe it, it's impossible. That can't happen. So, emunah is, says the Maral, anything can happen. The fact that it might not happen for us, the fact that we might not be worthy of something out of the ordinary happening, doesn't change the fact that it could happen. That there is nothing, a person lives his life with him, but if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted, it would happen. Whether or not I'm deserving of that, whether or not it will, it doesn't matter, it could. Because he can do anything. And emunah is the person having the belief, bekocho, Ko. That's why I believe in him. Because I believe in the entity which is Bekoicho Ko, that there is nothing beyond. He is capable of doing everything. Now the Maral says, and this is the way that the Baruch Hashem set up the system according to the Maral. Bishvilzeh, when a person has that emunah, Bekoicho Ko, Kashir Higia Azmanshu Yizbarach Yitein HaTov. Now comes the time where a person needs a certain level of tov, he needs something from the Ribbono Shel Olam. As yitain lo, kifi mashehu hayoma'amin bo, shekach godol kocho v'yecholto. He will give you according to your belief in his ability to give. That is what to me is the frightening, yet powerful and comforting phrase all at the same time. When you need something from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, I will do that which you think I can. You believe me capable of this, I'll do that. I can do anything. You actually limit what I can give you. When you think that's impossible, this dilemma that I've gotten myself into, this is impossible. Now I'm stuck. When we hit that road, the Russian says, I'm not doing more for you than you think is possible. You set the limit. When you believe me as Yechol to Kol, I'll do that way. Now again, not every time for every single person, but if you don't, we put the ceiling on it, says the Maral. I'm just going to read the line again because it's so powerful. Kashir Yigia Zman Shu Yizbarach Yitein HaTov. When that time comes, as yitein lo kifi mashehu hayamam in bo, he will give according to the level that we believe in him. Shekach gadol kocho v'yecholto. Aval kasher eino ma'am in bo, ki ilu mimait kocho v'yecholto. When we don't believe, when we believe that something is actually impossible, cannot happen, this won't or can't be done, it's as if we're mimait, we're ourselves limiting the strength of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we limit him, so in the future, now it's time for him to reveal his koyach and his yecholas. He is only going to reveal himself according to the emunah that you had. I've used this example in many different contexts, but it's the same thing. You go into the Coke factory and you get free Coke. Free Coke. But how much coke can you get? So imagine if we change the system a little bit. Let's say you can actually go home with it. You don't have to drink it right there. How much could you... You can only walk home with however large the size of the vessel that you came in with. There's unlimited coke here. But if you only bring an 8-ounce cup, you can't go home with more than 8 ounces. Even though the spigots are unlimited. But you only brought 8 ounces. You can't walk home with more than that. And if you stopped off at QT and picked up a 64-ounce cup, you can walk home with 64 ounces. And if you bring your big igloo, you determine the size. Spigots are unlimited. Ribbono Shel Olam Shefa is unlimited. His Yecholas is unlimited. Except by us. The emuna that we limit is the only limiting factor is what can happen. Says Moral, Ribbono Shel Olam set it up that he will not be Mar'e Yecholto V'Koicho more than you believe is possible. Ki'ilu, in other words, it could have gone the other way. Could have gone, I don't have full emuna. And then you show me and I say, wow, now I believe. I didn't think it was possible. I thought I was in a certain dire strait that it was impossible to get out of. And you showed me that you're taka capable. Could have gone that way. No, it doesn't work that way. It works the opposite. It's not that he needs to show you and now you'll believe. When you believe it possible, then it can happen. Again, there's no promises because not everyone's deserving of miraculous events. But it can't happen beyond what a person thinks. And I just, it's my own anecdotal experience. I've dealt with many different situations over my limited lifespan. And I often come across people with greater levels of emuna than I in a certain situation in which they believe something can happen. And I'm envious of your hope, but as a realist, I have trouble relating to them. But they have emuna. They believe. Now, I didn't keep statistics as to whether or not things do happen or don't happen. Says the morale, we limit the potential. That's how it would go. It can't happen more than a person actually believes is possible. Therefore, it says, you would have taken Eretz Yisrael. I took you out. Bo or Shua Saaret. It's yours. You don't think it can happen? You think you need spies? You think you need a war plan? You think it... Okay. I'm not going to do more than that. So I'll help you fight the war. But you better bring your weaponry, and you better make a plan, because if that's what you think you need to go in, so I'll help you, but you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight. The Yam would have split. The Yam would have split. But you ruined it. And you said, it can't happen. We're going to die. What do I need to be taken here to die for? I should have died over there. Tov lano avodas Mitzrayim would have been better there. So if you want to deal with it like that, says the Moral, after the complaints, hayunasun v'din, so then you fall back to a different state in which it's not clear that you have this chus to be able to go through. You don't think that I can do anything for you? You think you're trapped between the Yam and the Mitzrayim? There's no way out? No way out for me? What do you mean there's no way out? The Ribbono Shel Olam, I just, 10 plagues, all that you saw in Mitzrayim, and now you think there's no way out? That you're trapped by a spotty of water? So there's going to be a din as to what status you have, where you go, and everything falls from there. Just to see one more place, when Ronald talks about this in his Nesiv HaBitoch, on the last underlined lines. Kasher boteach bo yisborach, as yas Hashem yisborach bakashaso. Person has bitochon, Hashem will fulfill his bakasha. Avval kasher ha'adam yecharad. When a person has fear, moira ze al miut bitochon asheyesh lo bo yisborach. That shows a certain lack of bitochon. V'dover ze yiten elav mokesh. And that itself is the stumbling block for him. Ki kasher yecharad moira ki in lo bitochon klav v'dover ze mokesh. That becomes, the stumbling block becomes his lack of bitachon that Hashem can't do it, so you think I can't do it, then you're going to get caught by whatever natural events you are caught under. So says the Moral to explain this particular stira in Rashi. I haven't seen others who learn it differently. Maybe there are other approaches out there, but I find the Moral's approach quite, again, as I said, frightening, inspiring, comforting all at once. It's literally the hanhaga that the Ribbono Shel Olam has with us, says the Moral, is literally k'mayim panim el panim, the way that we treat him. the emuna that we have in him, the level that we believe that it is possible and can be done, is exactly according to the level that he will be megala his toiv to us, kasher yagia hazman, when we are in need of it. So says Maral.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.